Okay. Welcome to our weekly Meridian Shiur. Now that's what you see. It's called Meridian Shiur. Hey Shmuel, see me? Okay. Yes, there is here. It's called the Meridian Shiur because it's been this is a shiur that used it to actually take place in Meridian, thanks to Jeff Weinberg. And also to Ralph Ertzke, the chevra over there, Meridian, for years and years. I should mention that for years, some of you know that I would go there actually once a week. It became too difficult with the traveling to get to the city. But this is a shiur that Jeff Weinberg has been sponsoring and taking care of. I don't even know how long anymore. It must be already 12, 13, 15 years. So I just realized that Jeff would never say anything, but I should mention that this year is because of the Chevrat Meridian, and we want to give them always the Yasher Koyach. Okay, we're coming towards the end of the Sefer of Da'as Midrashecha on page Resh Lamed. We're learning about the Midah of Shtika, of silence, which is from the Shorash of the Yesod of Afar, of the earth. The Torah that we're learning now that Rav Schwartz is explaining to us is built upon the Sefer Yetzirah, the Mem Damemes, the Shin Shorekes, Mayim, Eish, Mayim Damemes, Damemes, the silence, the hum of the Mem, the shin, the eish, the fire of the shrika. And we're in a very, very difficult part of this Torah. I'm going to try to understand it as best as possible. But as it's been throughout the Sefer, there are some very real and practical applications and machshavos that we could have about these midas of shtika, of dibur, of the difference between kol and dibur, shtika, and so on. So we're up to the middle of page Resh Lamed. In all of Tanakh, and I mentioned this last week, in all of Tanakh, there is one person who is identified more than anyone else with the midah of shtika. And what's interesting is that she doesn't seem to be a person who's afraid to speak up, and that's Rachel Imenu. Rachel Imenu speaks up. If anything, in the Torah, Leah Imenu seems to be more of the quiet sister. Rachel does speak up, especially when it came to having children and wanting to have children. The way she spoke is very, very strong. And yet, Chazal identify Rachel with the Midah of Shtika. K'shemekbilim zayis la'obas ha'kadoshim li'mos from the middle of page Resh Lamed, li'mos ha'kadoshis, etzel mi anu moitzim koach ha'shtika, where do we see the Chazal, as always, the Chazal honed in on the pnimiyus of the pnimiyus. If you're going to sit around counting how many words Rachel spoke, and compared to Leah, how many words Leah spoke, or other tzaddikim, tzadkanis, and Tanakh. So it's not going to add up to Rachel being the silent one. There are more words coming from Rachel than many of the other characters in Tanakh. But Chazal tell us that the koach of shtika was the koach of Rachel Imenu. Rachel Tafsa Plach Shtika. Rachel Tafsa, she grabbed, she acquired this Koach of Shtika. Va'amdu kol b'neha bali mistarin. And as a result of that, she was zeicha that all of her descendants, her children, are bali mistarin. They know how to keep secrets. Bali mistarin means they know how to keep their mouths closed. They know the art of silence. A few examples Chazal give. Binyamin Yoshve, the stone of Binyamin by the Choshen, the stone was Yoshve. I think in English it's translated as jasper. Yoshve. But Chazal Darshan, the word Yoshve, Yeshpe, that Binyamin had what to say. He had what to say. He knew what happened with Yosef at Sadiq. How did he know? It's not important for now. Binyamin knew the secret of what took place, that very deep secret in the family. He knew about it. Ve'eno magid. He kept his mouth closed. He didn't give away the secret. He was silent. Sho'ul. Then further along in time, Shaul HaMelech, who's an enikel from Binyamin, from Rachel Imenu. Ve'ez dvar ha-meluch alay higid lay. As you all remember, the Shmuel HaNavi was sent to anoint the future king. And he went and he found Shaul. And Shaul was designated as the king. Ve'ez dvar ha-meluch alay higid lay. And when he went back home, he didn't mention to anyone the Dvar HaMelucha. Now, that's an amazing thing. We're not talking about like a promotion at work, but nowadays, like everybody will send out within 5 seconds on every Twitter and every possible way of communicating to the world that I was just made into Grand Puba of this institution or something, and it's already out in the world in 2 seconds. Shaul HaMelech was the first king of the Jewish people. We're not counting Moshe ben Yeshua, because that's a little bit unclear what was the nature of the Malchus of Moshe and Yeshua. You know, it was a Bechin of Malchus, but the first real, authentic, full-fledged king of the Jewish people is Shaul. And he didn't tell anybody about it. I mean, this was the trademark of Shaul, was humility and shtika, silence. Esther, ein Esther Magedis Merlatov Esama. Mordechai told her, do not tell anybody who you are and where you come from. The Rebbe of Yonasan Ibishitz once said on Purim that was the greatest miracle of Purim, that there was a woman that had a secret and she didn't tell anybody. He said that was the greatest miracle of all the Nisim of Purim. It says, Ein Esther Magedis Malata Vesama, that Esther Malka didn't speak. She didn't give away the secret. That's the Medrash in Bereishis. Rachel tafsa as korach hashtika. Rachel was tafsa as the korach hashtika. Now it's interesting. This just is coming at the same time that in the chaburis Yosef at Tzadik, we're learning a Torah from the Kohen in Sikkas at Tzadik. But in regard to this inyan of Rachel and Leah, there Reb Tzadik is not focusing on shtika. As you recall, those who are or learning with us on Sunday morning, there Reb Tzadik is speaking about Rachel as the world of Yosef at Tzadik, which is the model of all tzaddikim, and Leah is the mother of all Balei Tshuva. That's what Reb Tzadik is focusing on in that piece in Sikkas at Tzadik. But in other places, Reb Tzadik speaks about the silence of Rachel and the koach of song, of music, of shira, and of haidah, that is the trademark of the family of Le'imenu, who is going to have David HaMelech, of course, and Mashiach Tzekenu, the great singers of the Jewish people. The Levium, David HaMelech, all come from Le'imenu. So Leah, Reb Saldi tells us, is perfected speech, which is song, music, shira, poetry, and so on. Haidah, Chazal tell us that Le'imenu is Hapam Oides Hashem, that she had this koch of praising Hashem, speaking words of praise, that with David HaMelech would yarshin, this ability to speak words of poetic, beautiful words of praise. So Lehi Meina was the koch of speaking, perfected speech, which is Hoidah. And Rochli Meina was the koch of silence. And yet, as I said before, when you look in Chumash, Lehi Meina seems to be quieter than Rochli Meina. If you count the words, I never did that. I admit that I never counted how many seeds were in a remine, you know. I trust when Chazal say something that they know what they're talking about. And what is the meaning of the shtika of Rachel and the talkativeness of Leah? So Reb Tzadik explains it in a way that's consistent with what we're learning by Chavurus Yosef HaTzadik. What he says, and it's very much nogeh to what we're learning now, is that the silence of Rachel is not a matter of counting her words, that she doesn't speak. The silence of Rachel is the world of the Tzadik Gomor, of the Tzadik, who does not have noise inside, for whom the path of life is very clear and very straightforward and very simple. And it's not noisy, it's silent. There's a certain confidence, there's a beauty of Rachel and of Yosef HaTzadik and Binyamin HaTzadik. There's a certain beauty in that path of the Tzadik, which is a quiet, confident, tranquil way of life. Just that's the Mahalach. As opposed to the world of Leah, who was crying because she was like Esav, as Reb Tzadik speaks about in the Torah that we learned last Sunday. Leah Yemeni was crying and fighting not to become an Esav. The inner life of Leah Yemeni was very noisy, was turbulent. Same thing with Yehuda, what he had to go through with Tamar. And then later on, David HaMelech. So these are turbulent souls, noise, a lot of commotion, a lot of fighting, kicking, and screaming to remain good. And Reb Tzadik identifies that as the world of the Baal Tshuva. That's the world of the Baal Tshuva. So consistent with the Torah that we learned in Sikkas HaTzadik, it's the same Mahalach over here. Rachel is the world of silence because of the inner tranquility and confidence that she had, which is the beauty of the tzaddik, that silence. Lehi Meinu is speech. Lehi Meinu is song, haidah, and so on, because of the noise of the turbulence that's inside of the hearts of Baalei Tshuva, who are struggling to overcome the obstacles in their lives and to be able to overcome their past, the things that they've done that are always screaming and yelling at them to return to those aveiros. So the way of Lehi Meinu is the way of speech, of song, and so on. That's Dor HaMelech, that's Yehuda. They need a Mashiach Sekeinu. That's the Mahalach of Reb Tzadik. It's not a matter of Rachel being a quiet person as far as speaking is concerned, is that there was an inner tranquility and silence in her beauty. She was who she was, Zehu. Masha'ini came with Lehi Meinu, like a person who's fighting off the demons inside. Yes, no, yes, no, I don't want to do this, I'm not going to do this, I'm going to try not to do this. Constant inner warfare and noise, not to slip back into the world of Esav. That's the Mahalach of Reb Tzadik. That's a very, very deep Torah that Reb Tzadik has been teaching us. The world of the Tzadik and the world of the Baal Tshuva. Rochli Meinu is the model of the Tzadik, and Leah is the model of Baalei Tshuva, is the mother of all Baalei Tshuva. Therefore, Rochel would have Yosef at Tzadik, I mean, at Tzadik Shol's Tzadik Yisod Olam, that world of Yisod of Tzadik is the Inyan of Rachel Yemenu, and the Inyan of Lei Yemenu is Yehuda and David Melech and so on. Let's see what how Rav Schwartz explains this Koch of Shtika by Rachel Yemenu. It's very connected to what Rav Tzadik is saying. We learned earlier that with all of the Midas, there's the side of Kilkul and the side of Tikkun. So with Afar, we spoke a lot about that, and with Eish, with fire, there's a fire that builds, a passion and a fire that builds, and there's a fire that's makalkal, that's destructive. Shtika, we learned also the past couple of weeks that with Shtika, there's a Shtika of Kilkul. Shtika comes from, also it's Afar, but it's the Tikkun and the Kilkul with Eish we were talking about the last few weeks. Shtika, there's of Kilkul and there's of Tikkun. The ability to silence the fire of Kilkul is Rachel Yemenu. To silence the fire of Kilkul, which is what we were just talking about from Tzadik. To silence the fire that's destructive. The fire of the Yetzirah, the fire of Kilkul. The ability to silence that noise, that fire, is Rachel Yemenu, the Koch of Shtika. The silence of Kilkul, which can destroy everything. So he explains. Masha nema v'hai beis Yaakov le'esh, hu beis Yosef le'lahava. Now we see in the pasuk, this is a pasuk that I'm sure everybody's familiar with, that beis Yaakov. I think you have something that's not muted. I don't know. That Beis Yaakov is a fire, and Beis Yosef is a lahava. Lahava is even a bigger fire, a lahava. A lahava is the loss of his slavas. Lahava means a huge fire. And the pasuk goes on and says that, and Beis Esav is a kash. It's like straw. In other words, the vision of the future is that the fire of Yaakov and the flame of Yosef will completely consume and destroy Esav, who's compared to a straw, like a dried out straw that you put a match to it, it's gone. Esav's kash. Now remember, we spoke about kash and those words kasha and shtika. So the pasuk of Beis Yaakov le'esh Beis Yosef le'hava. Now, remember, Yaakov when he came to the house of Lavan and Basul, he wanted Rachel Yemenu. He wanted to have perfect tzaddikim. He didn't want to have children like us. You know, they're going to have to go through all kinds of crazy things and all kinds of back and forth. He wanted it should be glaich, straight and smooth. Tzadikim, quiet, silent, and chai. Not struggling. Everything should go easy, should be nice. Every parent wants that. That's what Yaakov wanted. Therefore, he, as we were talking about by the Torah from Reb Tzadik, and Sikhsat Tzadik, therefore he immediately fell for Rachel Yemenu. And that's what he wanted. He wanted a quiet, beautiful Yiddishkeit for his quiet and beautiful children, so he could continue being in the Beis Medrash, Yaakov Ishtam, Yoshev Ohalim. Were any of you ever, you don't have to raise your hand, but if any of you ever had the situation like you were sitting and trying to have a quiet day or a quiet night learning, and you were feeling really, really good about yourself, and you were feeling like life is good and just a quiet, sweet moment of being in that safer and enjoying, and then like you get a call from your wife or something, and says we're having a little bit of a problem with Yankee, that they sent him home from school, you know, like one of those calls. So there are those interruptions in life of imperfections. Where all of a sudden the noise comes back. Yaakov was hoping to build an Am Yisrael without noise, just like we try to do all the time. But it wasn't meant to be. And therefore, Hashem wanted that he should also marry Leah. And that's why he has two names, Yaakov and Yisrael. Yisrael means Lirosh, Yisrael means Memshola, Yisrael means everything is Gevaldik. And Yaakov means the heel. Yaakov means difficulties and fighting and so on. So this promise that Beis Yaakov will be a fire and Beis Yosef will be a powerful flame. Zo Yachas Yaakov L'Rachel, Shemisham Yoitze Yosef. Now the Shidduch of Yaakov and Rachel was a fiery Shidduch. A fire. Because we see that from this Shidduch of Yaakov and Rachel, of the fire of Yaakov, and the Koach of Rachel, they would come into the world, the Lahava of Yosef HaTzadik. Now, we learned that Eish is an Indian of, there's Kilkel, there's Tikkun, there's Shtika, Eish of Shtika. Al zech chola havchana shetavsa plach shal Shtika, hashtokel shal yisoid ha'eish. Hima Shtika es yisoid ha'eish she'enene musukan. Because there is a holy fire, there is a constructive, productive, wonderful fire, an Eish Kodesh, a fire of Kedusha. That fire of Kedusha builds. That builds, that's passion. That's the passion of the tzaddik, that davening and learning of Avodas Hashem. But then you have the fire of Kilkel, which is Esav. And the fire of Kilkel that destroys, the fire of the Eitz Ahara and so on. Rachel Imenu has the ability to silence the Yisod Ha'esh She'enene Musuka. She has the ability, the Koach, to silence the noise, the fire, the turbulence that is unholy. To silence it. That's the Koach of Rachel Imenu. To eliminate it. Leah doesn't have that. Leah Imenu is always living with that noise, with that turbulence. Rachel has the ability to silence it. And when that noise is silenced, so then you have the fire of Yosef HaTzadik, the flame, the fire of Yosef HaTzadik. Mekor kach mezgala etzla yisayda eish de tikun. Azenemar, Halako Devar Ke'esh Numasha. The Pasuk says that Hashem is saying that my words are fire. My words are fire. Yesh Nahavchana Shal Dibur. Ruchi Asher Alecho Devar Shasanti Beficha. Zemitzad Vihadim Lenefesh Chai Leruach Mamalua. Speech, we learned last week. Speaking comes from Ruach. When a person speaks, it comes from Ruach, as it says in the Pasuk. But he adam lenefesh chaya, and Targum translates, as we spoke about last week, leruach memalala. Breath, air, oxygen, speaking. Speech, dibur, is associated with Ruach. Avol hanoshem not lo tisha kabbah shel sicha. Now, Chazal, we already mentioned this Chazal last week. Chazal tells us that there are 10 portions of Sicha in the world, and women have taken 9. So all the guys that like to talk too much and make jokes at the expense of women, those are the guys that talk too much and talk during davening and so on. They like to make jokes about how women have taken nine portions of speech. I never heard the strong silent type of person make jokes about that. Only the guys that talk too much make those jokes about how women talk too much. It's an interesting thing. Try to notice that next time you're making those cracks. So, Noshim, it does not say that they took 10 portions of Dibur. It says they took 10 portions, 9 portions of Dibur. It says they took 9 portions of Sicha. Sicha. Sicha is usually translated as conversation. But that's also not completely accurate. Here also, Tzaddik has very, very big Torahs on this, especially at the beginning of Shvi'is Shabbos, and there's Maimon on Shabbos, and Kedusha Shabbos. There he has, on the Indian of Omal Sicha. Kol Hayom Hisichasi. When a Jew learns Torah, and he speaks words of Torah, says David HaMelech called it Sicha. Kol Hayom Hisichasi. My conversation is a conversation of Torah. Sichas Aran. Lukutei Sichas. Today's Lubavitcher of his yard site. Yom Tamuz. Lukutei Sichas. Sichas. Sichas is not the same thing as Dibur. Sichas is something else. So women have taken 9 chalakim of sicha. So we have chanesh l'eish. This is an in of eish. Now let's see, what does that mean? Look at page Reish Laman Aleph. Zahrei bor. Ha'ish anot l'tisha kabin shal sicha. L'umas ha'ish shanot l'kav echad belvad. So women have 9 portions of sicha, and the male has 1. So this is where the guys that talk too much say, you see, women talk a lot and I don't. While the wife sits there silently absorbing this abuse. Women have 10 portions of sicha, and men have 1 portion of sicha. Since sicha is tira, kol hayomi sichasi, sicha is a word that means to converse in tira. You would think that women would be more chayav in Talmud Torah than men. But the truth is that a man is chayav in the midst of Talmud Torah and a woman is not. Hayigoyin, logic would dictate shahayisha he zushetia mitzuva b'mitzvah tamatera shenasis b'mtsos dibur. Since women have 9 portions of sicha, you would think that the ikka mitzvah tamatera would be for women. Ki la nitan kacha dibur, because the kacha dibur of sicha belongs to 90% belongs to women. So you would think that women would be the ones that have mitzvahs in Talmud Torah. Lamar b'hapela, davke ish nitzdave b'mitzvahs Talmud Torah v'lo isha. Davke ish v'lo isha is in the midst of Talmud Torah. Kimafurish b'mishnah b'kedushim, haketza. What's that? So bir hadavar. Are you able to hear me? Because there's something like a lawnmower out. You can hear? Dear Hadar, Leish Nimsa Dibur Mikor Ruchi Asha Santi Beficha. Okay, the Koch of Dibur is male. Dibur is male. Remember, it only says Sicha by women. Dibur is male. And Dibur, that says Ruchi Asha Santi Beficha. The Ruach. Dibur comes from Ruach, air. Ruch hashem samte bificha, b'koach kach u'medaber b'divrei Torah shiva b'chinas das. And with this koach of dibur, the man speaks words of Torah that are words of das. Now here is where there's another chiluk between men and women, because noshem daitem kala. So So Talmud Chacham Shein Bo Das. Again, the trademark of the Talmud Chacham, Moshe Rabbeinu was the Talmud Chacham, Moshe Rabbeinu was the Koch of Das. Talmud Chacham Shein Bo Das. If you have a Talmud Chacham, but he's lacking in this Koch of Das, Chazal say Nevela Toiva Hemenu. So a very deep Chazal. Maral talks about this, means why it's compared to a nevela, that a carcass is better than such a Talmud Chacham. In other words, a Talmud Chacham who has the koach of Dibur, but he's lacking in Das. Now, doesn't that seem to be a stira, a Talmud Chacham that doesn't have Das? I've met Talmud Chacham like that, and maybe you've had the schus to meet Talmud Chacham like that as well. Because the fact that someone knows a lot and has a lot of information doesn't necessarily mean that he's a bar das. Das is something else. Das is something else. What is that? Mashein ken Talmud Chacham amiti, a true Talmud Chacham, an emissary Talmud Chacham, a Talmud Chacham who's in a place of shleimus. Not only knows a lot, not only that he has information, but he's a bar das. Yesh bar das. Das genuza bepume. K'may sharem chazal. Which usually means that he knows when to be silent. Das is discernment. And Das, the midah of Das, is how everything is to be applied lemaisa, in a practical and real way. There are many, many meanings to Das, what Das includes. But a Talmud Chacham amiti is a bar Das. Look, when Chazal tell us that a child, that a cotton, doesn't have das. Are you telling me that the Vilna Gaon didn't have das the day before his bar mitzvah? Are you saying the Ragged Shabbat didn't have das the day before his bar mitzvah? Obviously, it's not talking about brilliance or intelligence. It's talking about something else. There's a midah of das. It's not about intelligence. That's why Chazal say that Noshim Daitan Kala, that women Daitan Kala, doesn't mean they're not intelligent. The same way that the Vilna Gaon, the day before his bar mitzvah, wasn't called the bar das. Why is a cotton potter for mitzvahs? Because he didn't become bar mitzvah, he's not a bar das. The Vilna Gaon wasn't smart when he was a little kid. He was a genius. But there's a kviya that Chazal made, they were kaveya, that a child is not a bar das, and that women are not lacking in intelligence, but there's something different about their way of thinking that's lacking compared to the man in das. Luma zais isha shadaita kala. Chazal called this daita kala. It seems that if you're lacking the midah of das, learning can become not only something which is potentially a waste of time, but learning, or at least the type of learning that men are obligated to do, learning, let's say, pilpul and gemara in that way, can become for a woman something which is not only a waste of time, but can become destructive. Now, I know that there are many women that take offense to that, and there are all kinds of seminaries where wonderful people are trying to engage in the same limudim that men are limudim, and having it for women. And I'm not addressing any of that now. It's an inyan both in halacha. Mostly it has to do with emotion and psychology, the exact reason why Chazal say Noshim Daitan Kala, which is why it's a very, very controversial topic. I'm not getting into the subject. I many years ago, so it must be 40 years ago, I wrote a long article in the RJJ Journal. I don't know if that's anywhere out there online. I'm teaching Torah to women. I think that goes back to like 1985 or something. I don't remember. On the whole Indian halacha of the Indian of teaching Torah to women. But unless one understands the pnimius, what that means, das. And like, for instance, the Torah Tmima explains the Indian of a woman learning pilpul, learning Gemara, is that since she has a fire, there's a fire of regesh, of emotion, there's a certain fire of regesh, a gevura of eish, a fire. The Torah Tmima says that what often happens with a woman is that she becomes extremely excited and passionate about her initial understanding of a matter, although that initial understanding hasn't been thought through to the end. So she becomes convinced that she's right, and she's passionate about the view because of her fiery nature and her regesh. She has a tfisa that's very deep, but the problem is that it's incorrect. It's often incorrect. Now, the Torah Tmima tells us that going into something that's based upon an incorrect assumption and being able to enter into that in a very deep way can be extraordinarily dangerous. In other words, a man does not have that depth, but the man does not have this issue of daitan kala. It's more measured and less emotion-packed and more purely intellectual. Not smarter, but less affected by emotion. Kala, as I said last week, the Alter Rebbe and other tzaddikim explain, means that it takes flight, like something that's light. Doesn't mean that she's not brilliant, but it could jump from one thing to another. Kala. And the man's way of thinking is weighty. In other words, both in terms of W-A-I-T, will wait on something and will weigh it more. The woman will grab the initial tfisa that she has, and it will become something that consumes her. And she'll go into it in a very, very deep way, which she's capable of. She has tremendous karchas of the intellect. But if your initial understanding was wrong, so then, and you have the ability to go into something in the very deep pilpul, then the end of that journey could take you completely, completely away from halacha and completely away from the truth. That's how the Torah Tmima explains this inyan of the isser of women and Talmud Torah, the problem with the mitzvah of Talmud Torah and women, particularly when it comes to Torah Shebaal Peh. Not Torah Shebichsav, but Torah Shebaal Peh. Even though you could ask also the question that the whole koch of a woman is malchus, and malchus is Torah Shebaal Peh, is speaking, which is what Rav Schwartz is discussing now. Women have a koch of speech. But the chiluk is this inyan of das. And that's the difference between stam dibur and sicha. So let's continue. The middle of the page, a little bit higher than the middle of the page. A woman who's somehow lacking or has a different type of das than a man. Again, it's not intelligence, but it's a different type of das, of making those connections, of taking something through to the final conclusion in a gradual, tempered, dispassionate way, more purely intellectual. And in that regard, in that respect, Noshim Daitan Kala, Shaluma Zayis Isha Shadaita Kala Lo Nimtzer Lo Mitzvah Talmud Torah. So she was not given the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Her das is not as shakul as the das of a man. also having to do with weighing and measuring. Shakul, shikul hadas. It's not as shakul. The regesh, the fire, affects that scale of weighing things sufficiently. Ki im hi tedaber b'divrei Torah, tedaber rak miyisayid ha'esh. Because the woman, if she speaks Torah, it comes miyisayid ha'esh, b'li das, lacking in das. Ze loy Talmud Torah hashalem. That's a dangerous Talmud Torah. That's a very, very scary type of Talmud Torah. You could come to the wrong conclusion very quickly, and then you could take that wrong conclusion and you could build a whole edifice upon something that's wrong at the very beginning. That's dangerous. She'll take all of her fire. She'll take all of her fire to debate and to prove a point that to begin with wasn't thoroughly thought out. It was lacking in das. Now this chiluk also is one that would cause women to get very upset, some women to get very upset. I guess I'll have to deal with it. Zillo Talmud Torah HaSholem. That's not a shlemus of Talmud Torah. Mitzad kach ba'oimek, ha'isha hizu she'tzrich lit ba'isas ha'shtika klapi yisoyed ha'esh. The koch of Rochli Meinu was la'hashtik et ha'esh, to silence the fire of kilkel, the destructive fire. La'hashtik lit ba'isas ha'shtika klapi yisoyed ha'esh. Yaakov is the koyach of Torah. Tiferes is Torah. You understand that Yaakov, he met Rachel. This was his chavrusa for life. Rachel Imein, plachstika. Rachel tovsa plachshostika leirak aladibra ela afalakol. That's one thing to silence speech. It's another thing when it comes to sound, to the voice. Kol megiyim yisayid ha'esh, mi'ashin sharekes. We learned last week that sound comes from fire, the shin sharekes. From the Sefer Yetzirah, sharekes means shrieking, shrieka, the shriek. Kol, sound. Rachel shetavsa plach shtika, tavsa zois biyachas al nisunim Yaakov Avinu, shenema boi hakol kol Yaakov. Shmuel doesn't really explain this, he just moves on and doesn't really go into it, but there's obviously something very, very remarkable that's taking place here with the meaning of speaking and sound, because the koach of kol is Yaakov, hakol kol Yaakov. Hayidai mideis of hakol kol Yaakov. Yaakov is kol. Reishis hashtokas hadibur vegilui hakol. So Rochel Imenu marries Yaakov. Yaakov is sound, his voice. Kol comes from the Yisoid Ha'esh. And Rochel Imenu is the shidduch who knows how to temper that sound of fire, that kol. Hashtokas ha'kol she'neni mesukan. Hashtokas ha'esh de'kilkul. So Rochel Imenu has the ability to temper the sounds, the voice of Yaakov, with the fire of tikkun, that the voice of Yaakov should only become a fire of holiness and not to chalila go in the wrong way. Mikor kach nase beis Yaakov eish Ubeis Yosef Lahava. Ubeis Esav Kash. Shinsav Kuf Shasok Kash. In order to silence the noise of Esav in this world, the kol Yaakov would be perfected by the silence of Rochel Imenu, the silence of Kedusha, so that the voice of Yaakov, that fire, would only become a fire that's a fire of Kedusha, a fire of holiness, a fire of Torah, that fire would not go, Chalila, any way to go off track into the fire of Kilkul. So Rochel has the ability, lahashtik es ha'esh, the koch of shtika, which ultimately will bring to the downfall of Esav, which is Kash. Zeu sha amru chazal, mibneima nikre Yosef atzmus, atzomus b'chayev, that he asked that his bones should be taken down to Israel, taken away from the tribe. But why is it that he is referred to in such a way, refers to himself in the way of that's usually just when someone has died. But neishlei micha becovered of it. The kaamrilei avdecha avinu v'lo amalhu v'lo midi. So this is a very, very deep thing that he's saying here. Chazal tell us that Yosef on his level was punished because when he heard his brothers speak, and they said when he was still disguised, and he was saying, "Avdecha Avinu," the brothers said, "Avdecha Avinu," lo amalhu v'lamidi. He didn't protest and say, "Why are you calling your father my servant?" Yaakov didn't protest. Not Yaakov. Yosef didn't protest Yaakov being called an eved. He should have protested. What should he have said? Okay. But Chazal had to say that Yaakov allowed that Yosef allowed his father to be called in his presence Avdecha Yaakov, and because of that, he himself is referred to as bones during his lifetime. Klaimer. So Schwartz explains. Hayepgam etzel Yosef shu shoyseg hechen shaloy tzarech lishteg. Something was Yosef comes from Rachel. Rochel is shtika, but Yosef shtika had not yet been perfected. He had the ability of silence. I mean, Yosef's shtika is the most amazing of all, because for 22 years, he didn't tell anybody who he was, right? For all of those years, he didn't tell anybody he didn't communicate back to the family. He was silent. But still, his silence was used inappropriately when he was silent as his father was being called Avdecha. There he should not have been silent. He should have protested. But that's not the most important thing in the context of what we're learning. The most important thing is from where did Yosef receive this unbelievable koach of shtika? That for all of those years, he didn't say a word. He was silent. Where did he get that from? Mi'ima Rachel. He got that from his mother Rachel. Rak shehu ishtamish b'zeh b'mokim she'en nochem. But he did use this silence excessively. He should not have been silent when his father was called an Eved. Because silence doesn't mean that you don't talk. Silence means that you only say what should be said and you don't say what shouldn't be said. It doesn't mean that you don't talk. That's not a chokhma not to talk. Das, shtika, all that means that you talk, but what you're saying is very measured and weighty and thought out. And other than that, you don't talk. That's why a talmud chacham she'ein bo das is a talmud chacham that doesn't have those boundaries. So here it's interesting, it's also that's compared to a nevela, which means a carcass, a dead animal. And here Yosef HaTzadik didn't keep the proper boundary. He slipped for a moment on his level, and it's called Atzmas Yosef, which means it was like a dead body. Whatever that is, not going into that right now. I have some theories about it, but it's going to take us off topic. It's even the whole thing of Dibur and Mace with the Koch of the Ruach Mamala. But the Iker is right now that Rachel Imenu gave to Yosef HaTzadik the ability of Shtika, to be quiet, to be silent. Again, it doesn't mean that he doesn't know how to talk. That's not what silence means. As we saw, Rachel knew how to talk, and Yosef knew how to talk. But in this particular situation, he used the silence. He should have spoken up here, and he didn't. When his father was called Avdecha, he shouldn't have sat silently. But the Iker is that Yosef took this Koch of Shtika from his mother Rachel. And therefore, Yosef at Tzadik brings to the downfall of Amalek, of Esav. As Chazal say, Beis Yaakov le'esh, Beis Yosef le'hava, and Beis Esav le'kash. What's the kash of Esav? The shtika of Esav. The shtika of Esav is not in Kedusha. It means to silently harbor hatred and to want to silence the entire world, to destroy the world. That's Esav's kash, the union of Esav. Mikoach kach, nasa beis Yosef lahava. Beis Yosef lahava. Hugila es hashtika shesheleles es hakol shenenu emes. The union of that Yosef received from Rachel was to silence voices that should not be heard. Umegala es kol ha'emes, to reveal sounds that are true. Ela told us Yaakov Yosef. Hakol kol Yaakov, and then Yosef at Tzadik. Hakol nishma, where do we see by Yosef at Tzadik? That when Yosef finally became known to his brothers, when the silence ended, so it says in Pasuk, Hakol nishma, Boache Yosef. The sound was heard, and it says by Yosef at Tzadik, Hakol nishma, it was heard that the brothers of Yosef had come. Hakol nishma that boache Yosef. Chen al zehaderech. The union of kol akol kol Yaakov, rochli menu ishtika, and the koach of perfected sound of voice, which is when speech is tempered with das. And this is very much connected to the inyan of the blowing of the shofar, which we spoke about last week, and we'll get to again. So page Reish Lamed Beis. We'll just start a little bit. Atan is boinein. Ma kari kasha odom shoysek mi dibur, ma kari kasha was shoysek mi kol. So what's the difference between a person just isn't talking? He's silent as far as speech is concerned. But then you have another person that doesn't make a sound. He's shoysek mikol, because the person who's not speaking could still be making sounds. Kasher odom shoysek midibur, hu be'etzem nishar b'madregas kol. When a person stops saying words, he could still be making a sound. Just it's not articulated in words. B'maimon ha-Sinai, the Torah says b'maimon ha-Sinai, kol gadol le-Yosef. There was a great sound b'maimon ha-Sinai, passages of the shofar, or the sound of the dibris, whatever. L'chad ma'andam in the Gemara, lo-Yosef ha-kavon lo-Posak. According to one view in the Gemara, when it says in the Posak, kol gadol le-Yosef, it means that on a deeper level, the voice of Maimon HaSinai of Matan Torah has never stopped. The voice of the sound of Matan Torah, they were kodesh ubrakim. The sound of Matan Torah has never stopped. Now remember, the sounds there were extraordinary, because Chazal say at Harsinai they were roim as hanishma shayim. They were able to see sounds. So there's something extraordinary by these kailas of Har Sinai, and it says in the pasuk "Kol gadol Yosef" that the sound has never stopped. Now the dibur of the Aseres HaDibros, that's all stopped thousands of years ago. The diburim we no longer are able to hear, but the voice, the sound of Har Sinai, continues on through time. The lo Yosef akavanav lo pasak. Bir Hadavar, the explanation of this is the Maimon has seen a lacha shenigmu aseres hadibros hadibra vada hipsik. After the aseres hadibros, after the 10 utterances, dibur stopped. Hayu aseres hadibros v'suloi. There were only 10 dibros, not 11. Avla kol, however, the sound shemikoyche necheku aseres hadibros. Hakol Shofar Chazak, that sound that was the background of the Aseres HaDibros, the sound of the Shofar getting stronger and stronger, Olav Nema Kol Gadol Yosef, it didn't stop. It's never stopped. Hakol Azem Mamshech Kol Hazman, that sound of Matan Torah continues always through time. Humei Olam Lo Hifsik, it never stopped. It means that the words, the dibur, the speech of Maimon Har Sinai was silenced. But the voice of Maimon Har Sinai was never silenced. The Fizeh, no, I'm sorry, Zeu havchanas shtika midibur v'gilu shel kol. Therefore, when Rachel is silent, so on the one hand, the shtika that comes from Yisod of Ofra means that she doesn't speak, that she's shosekes me'adibur, and she's megala the kol kol Yaakov, because when speech ends, then there's only sound. So by Rachel not speaking, she was Megala the Hakol Kol Yaakov, the voice of her husband Yaakov. He Megala is a Mem Domemes. The Mem that the Sefer Yetzirah says, the Mem that is that sound of humming, the sound. So Rachel is the sound. Rachel would bring a shtika which brings out that sound of Hakol Kol Yaakov. Avagam is a Shin Shorekes. She is the fire of the Eish Sharekes, which means to lift up the voice from Dibur to a higher level of Kol. That just like by Har Sinai, the Diburim stopped, but ever since the Diburim stopped, there is something miraculous of that sound that continues on, that only great people are able to tap into and hear the noise, the thunder of Har Sinai. So Rachel Imenu would bring out in Yaakov elevated speech, higher than speech, which is the sound, the kol, the voice, HaKol Kol Yaakov. A higher level of Torah, we are not speaking, we are just the sound of Har Sinai, not the words, it's higher. It's a voice that's inside the brain, inside the heart, but no one else hears it. It's the deepest thoughts of a Talmud Chacham. And that is what we're going to begin with next week. It says in Pasuk, Tsa'ak Libam El Hashem, that there's such a thing that a person is silent as far as speech, but his heart is screaming out to God. His heart is screaming. So, Amir Hashem, next week, we'll begin with this inyan of Tsa'ak Libam El Hashem, and it's brought down to a little bit more of a understandable Madrega, and hopefully we'll get to that Bez Hashem next week. Okay, I want to wish each and every one of you a lechtig and Shabbos, a beautiful Shabbos, and Sunday we're going to have the Chabuz Yosef at Tzadik in Mish Hashem, regular time, filming from beautiful South Fallsburg. Okay, Chevra, everybody should be well.